You will recall that on Saturday our dear brother Mr. Gooding brought to us a message from Colossians chapter 1 on the salvation of the saint. And then yesterday he gave us a message on verse 15 to verse 22 on the supremacy of the Savior. But of course there were two letters that were sent to the city of Colossae. And not all are aware of the fact that the epistle of Philemon was actually sent to the city of Colossae. Now, for those who may not be familiar with the background of the epistle of Philemon, just let me sketch the background before we read the epistle together. There was in the city of Colossae a man called Philemon, with his wife Apphia, and with their son Archippus. And the Bible tells us that the church in Colossae gathered in their home. Now he must have been a very wealthy businessman to have a home that was large enough to hold all the saints of God. But in that home there was a slave, a servant, and his name was Onesimus. And Onesimus took off his master's goods, we don't know what, and then he fled from the home of Philemon, and his fugitive feet eventually arrived at Rome. Somehow he had heard while in Colossae that Paul, the apostle, was a prisoner in Rome. And I'm sure under the providential ways of God, he decided to look in and find where Paul was. As a result of their conversations together, Onesimus was gloriously saved. And as the result of his salvation, Paul advised him as a slave to return to his former master. And he said, Onesimus, I'll give you a letter, and you'll take that letter and you'll give it to Philemon. Now, this is the letter that we are going to read this afternoon. This is the only specimen we have of Paul's personal correspondence. Now that's the background of the letter, and so let's read it together. Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, and Timothy our brother, unto Philemon, our dearly beloved and fellow laborer, and to our beloved, all other translations accurately say, to our sister Apphia, and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in thy house. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers, hearing of thy love and faith, which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus and toward all saints, that the communication of thy faith may become every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. For we have great joy and consolation in thy love, because the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother. Therefore, though I might be much bold in Christ to enjoin thee that which is convenient, yet for love's sake I rather beseech thee, being such an one as Paul the aged, and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ. I beseech thee for my son, and some translations omit Onesimus to the end of the verse, and there's a reason for that. I beseech thee for my son, whom I have begotten in my bonds, Onesimus, which in time past was to thee unprofitable, but now profitable to thee and me, whom I have sent again. Thou therefore receive him, that is mine own bowels, or mine own heart, whom I would have retained with me, that in thy stead he might have ministered unto me in the bonds of the gospel.
But without thy mind would I be nothing, that thy benefit should not be, as it were, of necessity, but willingly. For perhaps he therefore departed for a season, that thou shouldest receive him forever, not now as a servant, but above a servant, a brother beloved, especially to me, but how much more unto thee, both in the flesh and in the Lord. If thou count me therefore a partner, receive him as myself. If he hath wronged thee, or owes thee aught, put that on mine account. I, Paul, have written it with mine own hand. I will repay it. Albeit, I do not say to thee how thou owest unto me even thine own self besides. Yea, brother, let me have joy of thee in the Lord. Refresh my bowels in the Lord. Having confidence in thy obedience, I wrote unto thee, knowing that thou wilt also do more than I say. But withal, prepare me also a lodging, for I trust that through your prayers I shall be given unto you. There salutely Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, Marcus, Aristarchus, Demas, Lucas, my fellow laborers, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. And we trust that the Lord will bless not only the reading of his word, but as we seek to share a message together, bless the message to each one of our hearts this afternoon. Well, this is one of those lovely letters. One has called it the letter of a Christian gentleman, where Paul writes to Philemon and he's appealing to him to receive back the fugitive slave Onesimus. And recently, as I was going over this little epistle, this little letter again, it seemed to me that it loomed large that it was really a model letter. And there are so many individuals in this letter that come before us as model individuals. I want to bring a few of them together this afternoon and emphasize the atmosphere of this model letter. First of all, we have a model convert, and we'll talk for a little time about the conversion of Onesimus. And then we have a model family. We were talking in the Bible reading both Saturday and this morning about the ideal family. Well, here we have a model family. Philemon, the husband. Apphia, the wife. Archippus, the son. It was a model family, and the church gathered in their house. And then we have a model elder. You cannot read the comments of Paul about this man Philemon and his spiritual status and the shepherding care that's evidenced in this letter, but you will realize, would to the Lord that God would raise up men among us of the caliber and character of Philemon. He was a model elder. And then we have a model teacher. And Paul takes his pen and he writes this delightful letter. And if there was one model teacher whose ministry the saints of God have enjoyed over the centuries, it has been the teaching ministry of the Apostle Paul. And then finally, it was a model church. The church at Colossae was indeed a model church. When you see what Paul has to say in the epistle to the Colossians, despite the fact that they were surrounded with many and varied threats, you appreciate that the church at Colossae was a model church. So there we have a picture before us, a model convert, a model family, a model elder, a model teacher, a model assembly. And you know, it is interesting that the meaning of Philemon is delightful. It means love kiss. In other words, it is an atmosphere of reciprocal affection. And if there was one man in Colossae that was true to the meaning of his name, it was undoubtedly Philemon. Our brother Jim Curry this morning in the Bible reading was telling us about the variety of Greek words for the word love, and it has a very rich variety of meaning. And this is one Greek word for love, philia. And of course we have it here, philia, Philemon, Philemon, a love kiss. And so many names in the New Testament have this word woven through them. We come to Luke chapter 1, for example, and in Acts chapter 1, and we read there about a man called Theophilus. And Theo means God. Philo means love. So within that name, we have a man who was a Theophilus. He was a lover of God. When you come to Romans chapter 16, Paul mentions another man's name, and he calls him Philologus. Philo meaning love. Logos meaning word. There was a man whose name meant a lover of the word. When you come to Revelation chapter 2, you have that well-known church, Philadelphia. Phila meaning love. Delphos meaning brother. A love of the brethren. My brothers, my sisters, would it not transform? Would it not revolutionize the assemblies of the Lord's people if there was this atmosphere of love prevailing? Men like Theophilus, lovers of God. Men like Philologus, lovers of the word. Men like Philadelphians, lovers of the brethren. Men like Philemon, who were willing to reciprocate that love and that affection one with another. So as you read the letter of Philemon, you find that from beginning to end, it is an atmosphere of love that prevails throughout that letter. And Philemon was a man who was indeed true to the meaning of his name. Now, let's just take a few minutes and sketch something of the principles of these model individuals. First of all, we spoke about a model convert. And here was a young man. He was privileged to be externally, at least, identified with the people of God in the home of Philemon in Colossae. I've no doubt that oftentimes he would have heard the gospel. He would see the gospel expressed in the lives of that home which was marked by domestic piety. And yet, despite that, there came a crisis in his life when, succumbing to temptation, he took of his master's goods, suddenly realized the enormity of the sin he had committed, which in Roman law was worthy of death, and immediately he turned his back upon the home of Philemon, and there we have a fugitive on the way out. But my brother, my sister, it is good to appreciate that the eye of God was upon this young man for blessing. Indeed, in that epistle, Philemon would say, or Paul would say to Philemon, Philemon, please, take the providence, the sovereignty of God into account. Perhaps he parted from thee, that thou mightest receive him forever, not now as a servant, but above a servant, a brother beloved. And God used the strange circumstances in which Onesimus found himself, and as a result, he was gloriously saved. I may be talking to parents today, and you may be grieving over families. Maybe you've had that tremendous, painful experience of seeing children move out from the home for the last time. They are being followed with prayers. My brother, my sister, if that's the situation that you find yourself in today,
don't give up. Here was a young man, and despite all his privileges, he was prepared to go out and enjoy life with a capital L, unaware of the fact that the eye of God was upon him, and the eye of God was upon him for blessing, and his fugitive feet finally arrived in the great city of Rome, where tens of thousands of fugitive feet had wandered. And then God began to deal with him. First of all, there was a seed sown in his mind. Oh, when I was in Colossae, I heard about a man called Paul. I heard he was a prisoner here in Rome. And in the ways of God, the feet of that fugitive turned its way toward the prison cell. Eventually, he came into contact with the Apostle Paul. A veil is drawn over it. We don't know how the conversation went. We know this, that as Onesimus and Paul sat together in that prison cell, Paul, a prisoner in bonds, the Apostle Paul brought before him the claims of Jesus Christ, and eventually this young man was gloriously saved. And when we read this letter, we find that Paul had absolutely no doubt about the conversion of Onesimus. It is a model conversion. Indeed, when Paul writes this epistle, he was so strong in his appeal, he doesn't raise the problem at the beginning of the epistle. He waits until he has created, in this letter, an atmosphere of love before he will bring to Philemon the request that is upon his heart. And in making that request, he says, Philemon, I might be much bold in Christ to enjoin you what is needful, but, he says, and here it is again, for love's sake, I rather beseech thee, being such an one as Paul the aged, and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ, I beseech thee for my son, whom I have begotten in my bonds. Can you get the picture, brethren and sisters? You can see the Philemon coming to this point, and he had a great regard for the Apostle Paul, and Philemon, I can see him almost in the tiptoe saying, please tell me who this son is that you have begotten in your bonds, that the pains of a prison cell are like the birth pangs of labor. It has produced a son for God. And Philemon would be anxious to know who this son was. And that's why, at the end of the verse, Paul says, his name is Onesimus. And immediately, Paul adds this, I know Philemon. I know he was at one time unprofitable, but now profitable to thee and to me. And Paul was so entwined around the transformed state of this young man. He saw such a change in his life. He said in his letter, Philemon, I'm sending him again unto you, and I want you to receive him as my own heart. Philemon, please remember, if you had any doubts about receiving back the runaway slave, will you please remember, he carries my heart with him. And how you treat this young man will be the measure in which you will treat me. And he makes it ever so easy for this man of God, Philemon, to receive back the runaway slave. And it's just at that point he says, Philemon, take the ways of God into account. We cannot justify what Onesimus done, Paul would say. But perhaps he departed for a season, that in the strangeness of the ways of God, you might receive him forever. And you will receive him not as a slave, but above a slave. And his words are these, you will receive him as a brother beloved. What a model convert. What a transformation in the life of this young man. Brethren and sisters, let us take courage today.
This is what the power of the gospel can do in the lives of men and women. And never let us give up hope. And if there are parents in the hall this afternoon, and your families are not saved, and they're maybe going out to enjoy life with a capital L, please do not give hope. There is power in the gospel. Here was a slave whose fugitive feet finally found itself in Rome. And as a result of the gospel being preached, he was not only saved, but his life was gloriously transformed for the pleasure of God and for the benefit of Philemon. A model convert. But not only does this letter tell us about a model convert, it would tell us about a model family. And you know, brethren and sisters, I believe there is an ever-growing need among the assemblies of the Lord's people to make sure that their homes are dedicated for the pleasure of God. And here was a home, and written over this home could be the words, domestic piety. Yes, he was a wealthy individual. He had a large upper room, and he welcomed all the Lord's people. And so we read about Paul writing to Philemon. He was the husband, and Apphia, she was the wife, and Archippus, there was the son. There was the family setting. And may I suggest that this is the picture of a model family. And you know, the wonder of Christian fellowship is this. It not only begins in the assembly, but it reaches out to the homes of the people of God. When God brings his people together, he brings them into a glorious fellowship. The Bible talks about fellowship with the Father, fellowship with the Son, fellowship with one another. We read in Acts chapter 2, they continued in the fellowship. And one of the great blessings of assemblies is the warmth of Christian fellowship that we enjoy and experience the one with the other. And God intends that the homes of God's people might be centers of fellowship. It's good when the saints of God can open up their homes and entertain and offer fellowship to the saints of God. Does not the writer to the Hebrews say, please, please, he would say, be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware. And it's good to go from place to place, from city to city, from assembly to assembly, and find doors that are opened, not only for the servants, but opened for the people of God, where young and old can enjoy fellowship one with another. Homes like the homes of Aquila and Priscilla, who opened up their homes for the Apostle Paul, and I'm sure opened up their homes for the fellowship of the Lord's people. In Acts chapter 20, Paul speaks about teaching them publicly and from house to house. Here was an environment that had been created by the grace of God, that the homes of God's people were opened for fellowship one with another. And I believe that there is a great exercise today and a great need today that there might be model homes in the assemblies of the Lord's people. Not doors that are closed, but doors that are open, and open to all the Lord's people. Sometimes we can sectionalize the people of God. Sometimes we can form little cliques. Homes should never be the occasion of cliquism among the assemblies. The homes of God's people should be open for any who are in need, and for all who wish to share in domestic fellowship the one with the other. There is assembly fellowship. There is domestic fellowship. And here was a home, and I judge that it was a model home. It was a home of Christian fellowship. Not only was there a model convert, not only is there a model family, but there was a model elder. I never cease to be thrilled as I read this little letter, as I think of what Paul said about Philemon, and brethren, Paul never used exaggerated language. What Paul said, he really meant. And when we go down this little letter together, we haven't time this afternoon, we could see something of the loveliness of the shepherd heart, a man who was a spiritual elder in the assembly, a shepherd among the flock. Paul speaks of him in verse 1, Philemon, not our brother, not just our beloved brother. He speaks about Philemon, our dearly beloved. And then he tells us, Philemon, I thank my God, making mention of you always in my prayers. Paul, what did you give thanks for? Paul, what did you pray for? And Paul would say, well, I've never been to Colossae, but news has reached my ears about the spiritual qualities of this man, Philemon, and I know it is all true. And what kind of man was he? Look at verse 5. Hearing of thy love and faith which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus and toward all the saints. Aren't these wonderful words? Would you not covet, brother, to be a man like that in the assembly? A man who would have a testimony like this. Paul says, he is one who loves the Lord and who loves the Lord's people. A love for the Lord. Not just a love for the saints, but know what Paul says. A love toward the Lord Jesus and toward all the saints. No sectionalizing here, brethren. The apostle Paul knew that Philemon was a man who had no favorites. He was a man whose shepherd care extended to all the saints. And it may be that Paul just quietly puts this word in, all the saints. Philemon, you don't know yet, but I'm going to introduce you to another, and it might be a little more difficult for you to love him in the light of his past, but I know this. You have a reputation that you love all the saints. And when Onesimus returns, I'm quite sure you will love him also. And then one more thing that I just want to say. Verse 7 says, for we have great joy and consolation in thy love because the hearts of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother. My one would covet, wouldn't we, to have a brethren like this in the assembly. And sisters too. We have many mothers in Israel. We have many spiritual sisters in the assembly who can do much to create a spiritual and moral atmosphere among the people of God. But here is Philemon, and Paul says, the hearts of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother. Isn't it lovely to meet a brother like this in the street? Just to go down a little shopping. Just to meet Philemon. And then, as you met Philemon, he begins to speak to you about the Lord. And somehow or another, when he leaves, you just lift up your voice in thanksgiving. Why? Your heart has been refreshed. Is there not a great need today, brethren and sisters, for shepherds of a character like this? That whenever and wherever you meet them, they have just a little word that refreshes your heart. No gossip, as our brother Walter has been telling us. No gossip, no tale-bearing, no bitterness, but nothing but love, refreshing the hearts of the saints, so that there is a model convert. There is a model family. There is a model elder, a model shepherd. I say again, it should be all our prayers that God will go on raising up among the assemblies of the Lord's people men who have a character like this, real shepherds of the flock, men who make a spiritual impact upon the saints of God, a model convert, a model family, a model elder, a model teacher. My, when you read through this letter and you see the skill of a master teacher at work. And not only this letter, but you read all the letters of Paul. And Paul was an outstanding model teacher. He would, as we were saying at the conference, that in Ephesians chapter 4, when Paul writes there that God gave gifts to men, He gave teaching pastors for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the people of God. And true ministry that comes from the Spirit of God will have this effect upon God's people. The ministry will be constructive. The ministry will be clear. The ministry will be practical. It will have an effect of perfecting of the saints, adjusting all to the work of the ministry and to the building up of the body of Christ. And so we are not going to go through the epistles of Paul, but thank God he was a model teacher. And then the assembly at Colossae was indeed a model assembly. Now it may be that you might want to take time at your private moments, and if you haven't read the epistle to Philemon for a long time, then I would encourage you, take 1 half hour and just sit down and read this only specimen we have of Paul's personal correspondence. And when you read of it, look at it as a model letter. See in it the model conduct, the model family, the model elder, the model teacher, and the model assembly. May the Lord bless his word.